Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guest, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood at any point this evening, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest this evening, we encourage that, and press *3 on your keypad. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood. Senator?
Thank you to all of the area residents participating on tonight's call. Some of the best feedback and ideas I've received come directly from neighbors. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall, joined by special guest Jonathan Marks, Commissioner for the Pennsylvania Department of State Bureau of Elections. We'll be discussing elections and voting integrity, as well as any other issues that are important to you, and we'll answer your questions live. This format will allow you to listen in, offer your opinion, and ask questions. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press *3 on your phone. Let me introduce Jonathan Marks, Commissioner, Pennsylvania Department of State, Bureau of Elections, for a few opening remarks.
Thank you, Senator Haywood. Thank you, you. Good evening, everyone. It's great to be here with you. I appreciate the opportunity to join Senator Haywood and answer your questions and talk a little bit about elections and voting integrity. Before we get started, I do want to I always take the opportunity to remind people of upcoming elections, and as I'm sure many of you know, we have an important election coming up on November 7th. It's a municipal election. The federal elections we have in even-numbered years often get all the press and all the hype, but these local elections, these municipal elections, are equally important and really probably impact our day-to-day lives more than a federal election does. In Senator Haywood's district alone, voters in Philadelphia County and Montgomery County are going to be voting on, everyone actually in the state's going to be voting on a constitutional amendment that would authorize the General Assembly to do further work in reducing property taxes. Philadelphians will get to vote on a bond question in their county to borrow money to pay for enhancements, improvements to the city's infrastructure. Voters in Montgomery County are going to get to vote on mayor, borough council. If you're in a township, you're going to get to vote on the folks who represent you locally in your borough or township. So these are important elections. As I said, they have probably a larger impact on our day-to-day lives than federal elections. So thank you again. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Jonathan. And before we get into the discussion with the folks that have joined us online or submitted questions beforehand, I just wanted to go back through and talk a little bit about Jonathan, talk a little bit about your background, what brought you to this, and describe a little bit of how you've got to where you're at right now as a commissioner for the Bureau of Elections.
Sure. I guess I can qualify myself as officially old now. I've worked in state government for over 20 years. I started in the Corporation Bureau at the Department of State, and in 2002 came to the Bureau of Commissions, Elections, and Legislation as a legal assistant, working on election issues. And then I moved on to overseeing the Division of Elections and Voter Registration. From there, I went to overseeing the Division of the Statewide Uniform Registry of Electors, which is our statewide voter registration database. And then after that, I landed here in my current role as Commissioner of the Bureau. So I have now almost a decade and a half of experience in election administration and a variety of different roles at the Department of State. I've learned a lot over the years. Going into last year's election, I thought I had seen and heard everything. Last year's election, like like every election was unique in its own way, and I quickly figured out that I haven't seen everything. So I don't say that anymore.
Well, Jonathan, thank you very much. Senator, can you describe a little bit about some of the challenges that you see in the near future regarding elections and the involvement in the Department of Elections and the role of citizens and how confident they can be in their election process, the election process, and how elections are administered?
Neighbors have raised a few concerns with me. First, largely based on reports in the news, citizens and neighbors are concerned about the hacking of our elections. And they have raised questions about whether there has been any hacking of the election system in Pennsylvania. Are the results that we have accurate? Some citizens have asked me if we could have a system that produces a receipt for each voter to confirm that they have had their vote counted. Another question that has arisen through the local papers has been to what extent individuals who are not citizens have been given an opportunity to vote. And just as important, questions have arisen as to what's my polling location? Has the polling location changed? And so those are three pretty much the most common questions that I've heard. And, of course, we want to encourage individuals to vote at this election coming up in November, but of course at future elections as well. And we had a voter registration drive in my office. We registered over 100 folks to vote and change their addresses. So my office is trying to be a participant in expanding the democracy, expanding the exercise to vote. It's been our position that your vote is your voice. And so we have been active. So these are some of the questions that I've heard from neighbors, and I'm sure there'll be more when we get on the call, or maybe even similar ones as well.
Thank you, Senator. For those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening or his guest, Jonathan Marsh from the Pennsylvania Bureau of Elections, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. We encourage you to get online and we'll have a robust discussion. Again, if you have a question, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to the first question. The first question tonight is a submitted question before we get into some of the things that Senator Haywood had spoken about. The question is from Roberta in Jenkintown. The question is how to help people get easier access to permanent absentee ballots and emergency absentee ballots. There's an issue with absentee ballots access and how folks can use them and access them and throughout the system. Can we walk through that for Roberta and all those that have joined us?
Sure, absolutely. I want to give some good news to Roberta. We've actually been working on absentee balloting generally, but also on permanent absentee balloting specifically over the last year and a half. And we've worked closely with county election directors on, you know, some initiatives and some potential changes, proposed changes to the election code to make it easier for voters to vote by absentee ballot. As many of you may know, just from your own personal experience with mail over the last several years, there have been a lot of changes, a lot of cutbacks at the U.S. Postal Service. And because absentee balloting is conducted primarily through mail, this has had an impact on people's ability to timely receive absentee balloting materials. So we've talked about a number of potential initiatives to extend deadlines, for example, to request absentee ballots or to return absentee ballots. And to get to Roberta's specific question, in terms of permanent absentee, the way the process works right now, the way the law provides for currently, is that the county sends, if you get on a permanent absentee voter list by filling out an affirmation, getting certification from your doctor, for whatever condition qualifies you to be a permanent absentee voter. And then the county mails you an application for each election. You still have to fill out the application and return it to the county. We'd like to streamline that a little bit And you also have to renew that every 4 years. So what we've proposed, what we've talked to county election personnel about, is removing the 4-year renewal requirement. You'll stay on there as long as you're qualified. And also, instead of sending an application for each individual election, you would fill out one application at the beginning of each year, and then the county would automatically send you a ballot, an actual ballot to vote for each election during that year. So you would only have to make a request once annually, and you would not have to recertify your permanent absentee status every 4 years. So it would make it a little easier for folks to avail themselves of that opportunity.
Thank you very much. Just as a reminder for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to the first caller this evening. We're going to go to Thomas. Thomas, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Senator Haywood, my name is Thomas Bradford. I live in the 7900 block of Thuron Avenue of the 5th Ward. And my question is, we have not received any literature concerning anyone who are running in this election. We haven't received any literature. We haven't received any lectures. And I just want to know why, that this is happening to us.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bradford. And I share your concern about information being distributed regarding the November election. Generally speaking, it's the candidates who are seeking to win elections that are primarily responsible for sharing the election information. That is, to let voters know that they are on the ballot and to ask voters for their support. And so there are a number of elections for the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, for Superior Court of Pennsylvania, for District Attorney in Philadelphia, as well as the ballot questions that were raised. I can only say that it is the candidates that are primarily responsible for letting citizens know that they are on the ballot and to request their votes. I did do some door knocking this past weekend on behalf of a candidate, but that's our system. Each candidate is responsible for letting citizens know that they are on the ballot, and it may be that those campaigns are not strong enough so they can get the word out throughout the community. But I share your concern that there's very little indication, if at all, in Philadelphia that there's an election in November.
Thomas, thank you very much. Thank you, Senator. As a reminder for those that have joined us, press *3 on your phone's keypad to ask the senator or his guest, Jonathan Marks, a question. That's *3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question this evening. Senator, we're going to go to Joyce in West Oak Lane. Joyce, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes. Last election, I did not vote. I had applied for absentee ballots for my husband and myself because of medical reasons, and it came too late. What I want to know is there a designated time? Could I do it now? Or what I would, if I was, now the election coming up now, because of medical problems in November, I won't be able to vote. I have problems with my hip and my leg.
Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, I'll let Jonathan Marks describe the absentee balloting process, but I should say that Mr. Marks has pretty much described part of the challenge in getting the absentee voting process to work, and that is the number of days that it takes the post office to deliver mail.
Right.
And because the post office is taking 4 days sometimes instead of 1 day or 2 days to get mail delivered, it has really caused a serious problem with the absentee ballot system working. But let me allow Mr. Marks to describe the process and what you can do now.
Thank you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Great to talk to you. You can, to answer one of your questions, you can apply right now. You can apply at any time beginning 50 days before a primary or election.
Okay.
So my recommendation would be to apply for your absentee ballot right now. Counties are currently delivering those absentee ballots to voters. I don't know last year what the specific issue was, but Senator Haywood did a very good job articulating the challenges, especially in light of recent changes at the U.S. Postal Service. But if you need the form and can't get a hard copy, we do have posted on our website, our voter resource website at www.votespa.com,
mm-hmm.
a copy of the absentee ballot form that you can complete and sign and mail into your county. But I would recommend that you do that as soon as possible to allow the necessary time for the county to mail the ballot to you and for you to mail it back. As an alternative to that, if you're able to, you can, it doesn't all have to be done by mail. You could actually go into your county election office, request the absentee ballot in person, many counties have a process in place where they will process your request and give you your ballot and allow you to go someplace in private market and hand it right back to them. So that's another option as well. I don't know if you live in Philadelphia County or Montgomery County. The protocol may be a little different from county to county, but generally you can certainly request one in person if that's an option for you as well, and that'll at least cut down on the mail time.
Joyce, thank you very much for your question. If you have a question this evening for Senator Haywood or Jonathan Marks from the Pennsylvania Election Bureau, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to your callers. We're going to go to Hazel. Hazel, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, my name is Hazel Goodwin. I live at 1945 West Godfrey Avenue in Philadelphia County. My question is, how will I be able to see or know who is on the ballot for the election? Is there some place I can get that information? Where can I see that? So I can go to the candidates' websites and see what their stands are on and their bios.
Thank you so much, Hazel.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I think that this is the second crucial question as to letting the public know who is on the ballot and what are the issues that are on the ballot. Now, I can say that in Philadelphia County, where you live, Hazel, that the Committee of 70 website does have a list of those individuals who are on the ballot, and the Committee of 70 also has the ballot questions that are in on the ballot for Philadelphia County. So the Committee of 70 is probably, their website is probably one of the top sources of information on what folks will vote on in November. The League of Women Voters is also a common place where candidates and their positions on issues as well as ballot questions are available. But I point you first to the Committee of 70 and secondly to the League of Women Voters. Both of their websites tend to be pretty thorough.
Jonathan?
Yes, Senator Haywood's absolutely correct. Both of those, especially in the Philly area, both of those organizations provide some form of voting guide that will not only give you the names of the candidates, but also some basic information about the issues. I do want to point out, too, that both the City of Philadelphia and Montgomery County, both counties represented by Senator Haywood's district, have sample ballots on their website. So in your case, if you go to www.phillyvotes.com, you can actually enter your, there's an area on their website to download a sample ballot, which will actually be a picture of what your ballot's going to look like when you go to the polls on election day. And all you have to do is type in your address, and it'll bring up the appropriate ballot for your polling place. So that's another way to get information about who and what is on the ballot.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Hazel, for the question. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening about elections, or Jonathan Marks from the Pennsylvania Department of Elections, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Next, we're going to go to Marie. Marie has some follow-up questions and also has raised the issue about the Russian influence that's been in the news lately. Marie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
My question has to do with whether or not we have either the funding or the will to advertise the importance, to talk to people about the importance of voting, no matter who you vote for, because it looks as if a lot of people, even governments like Russia, have been involved in trying to either keep us from voting or to influence our voting. And it seems to me that probably a lot of people haven't really thought about the importance of voting, the right of voting, and how it mean, what it means to our daily life since high school or college. So I was just wondering if, I don't know whether it's too expensive to mount a campaign for voting, or whether there's no will to do that, because we talk about who to vote for, but what difference does it make who we vote for if nobody is voting? I just think that if there must be a way of encouraging people and reminding people again of the importance of voting.
Senator?
So I just, Marie, I strongly agree that we need to bring up the level of voting participation in the entire nation. I know that in Philadelphia, sometimes there's half of those who are registered to vote actually do vote, and I believe there's about 250,000 who are not registered to vote at all but are eligible. So this challenge of bringing up the culture of voting, we have had some proposals to put more civics into the curriculum at schools so that young people are taught over and over about the importance of voting. But it's not just there. After someone's 18 and they may be out of public school, they've got almost another full lifetime of voting, where voting needs to be reinforced. Some of us have called for a number of election reforms to make it easier to vote, to have early voting, allow individuals to register to vote pretty much the same time as they actually vote. So there are a number of proposals that have been suggested. I agree with you that a big advertising campaign would be valuable so that people know when the time is to vote. And so far, that's only been the responsibility of the candidates and the political parties. But I don't see why the state government couldn't do so on a nonpartisan basis just for the purposes of citizenship. So I think you're right.
Jonathan?
Marie, hi, thank you for your question. You're right. More can certainly be done in terms of awareness. We at the Department of State have done a number of things with a limited budget. We have a couple of initiatives. One is the Voter Hall of Fame, where we recognize people who have voted in 50 consecutive elections to try to give them something to shoot for. We've also recently at the Department of State, in conjunction with the governor's office, unveiled the Governor's Civic Engagement Award, which would reward high schools who are registering young voters, typically high school seniors who reach voting age. when they're seniors in high school to get more young people interested as they're going out into life, going on to college to register and to vote. We also, you know, with the budget we do have, we try to drive as much information out as we can through social media, earned media, meaning, you know, press releases, et cetera. But it certainly is a challenge, and there isn't a big push. Again, you know, federal elections seem to generate their own press. It's a little harder to get it done with the municipal elections because there's not a lot of interest being paid at the national level or even with the local press in many cases.
Marie, thank you very much. Just as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Jonathan Marks, his guest this evening from the Pennsylvania Department of Elections, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question, press *3 on your phone's keypad. And Jonathan in the center, I just wanted to follow up a little bit on Marie's question because I know there's been a lot of interest in that. We have some callers that are going to get into that a little bit later. But can you talk a little bit about, you know, the big news is the Russian interference in the election or the potential for the Russian interference in the election. How confident are you about the integrity of the elections? And, Senator, do you have any thoughts about some of those protections that the legislators may engage in order to further democracy and citizenship? Jonathan, I'm sorry.
Sure, I can address that. You know, as I said during my opening remarks, you know, each election is unique, and certainly last year's election was that. And a lot of the talk, a lot of the rhetoric, a lot of the news reports, and it's really continued even beyond last year's election, was related to attempts by the Russian government in particular to intervene in our elections. And I have a great deal of confidence in the protocols and processes we have in place here in Pennsylvania and across the country. And, you know, I always remind people when I talk about this that attempts at hacking are not new. They're not new to the Department of State. They're not even new in the realm of elections. There was more of a concerted effort last year, and the Department of Homeland Security was able to ID a specific actor. But we at the Department of State have been working for many years with the Commonwealth's Chief Information Security Office to protect all of the infrastructure of our elections. And counties do the same thing as well. We've recently been working directly with county CIOs, chief information officers, and we've worked for years with county election administrators to ensure that everyone's following best practices in terms of cyber hygiene. And one of the big key elements of protecting ourselves against these kinds of attacks is, you know, the simple thing of awareness and training. We have all of these wonderful protocols, but they're all meaningless if the human beings who are involved in the process are not following them. So awareness and training is a really key component, and that's just reminding people who are involved in election administration what their role as an individual is and how important it is to do even the little things like protecting their password to their computer. We remind counties as well to follow the best practices of ensuring that any computer that is involved in the tabulation of votes is never connected to the internet, so that there's no vector for somebody to get in there remotely and do something. I think last year a lot of the discussion around Russian hacking kind of conflated and confused the two different elements. Certainly there was a very concerted effort by the Russians to intervene through social media, et cetera. And also they were looking at individual states' online resources, that being voter registration databases, et cetera. And there were two known breaches in Illinois and Arizona, but we were not one of the two states who were breached. We were the subject of some of that probing and scanning, but again, we have folks who are dedicated to protecting us and protecting the citizens of the Commonwealth against those sorts of things. So I'm confident in the process we have in place, but it's important, particularly now, for everyone to be vigilant and for everyone to be aware of what their role is in protecting our election infrastructure.
Senator, do you have some thoughts?
Yes, a few quick things. Number one, I think we can protect the integrity of our vote in part by looking at news reports and getting some fact-checking to the news reports. You know, there was quite a few pieces of false news that was put out in the 2016 election that had no foundation in fact. And so spending some time with fact-checking, I think, helps the voter to have their own integrity when it comes time to vote. So we know that we're relying on accurate information to create the decision upon which we will exercise our vote. Second, I want to thank the Wolf administration for their decision earlier this year not to give up the voter data in Pennsylvania over to the president's voter fraud commission. The voter fraud commission does not have a right to the individual confidential voter information that we have in Pennsylvania, and I'm so glad that we did not dump our information with that national effort, which has a somewhat dubious purpose. And the third thing I would say is that we should report incidents of voter intimidation or any voter impropriety that we see at the polls. It's not just the judges of elections and the individuals who are working at the polling location who have a responsibility to make sure that every vote is counted and it's no intimidation. Each of us can participate and report any incidents of intimidation so that we have a free and fair election. So those would be the three actions I think that we as individual citizens can do that will support the actions of the Department of State that Mr. Marks has described.
Thank you. If you have a question, again, just as a follow-up for the Senator or Jonathan Marks, his guest this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. We're having a discussion about elections and different aspects of the electoral process. Senator, we're going to go back to your callers. We're going to go to Adam. Adam, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and I want to thank the Senator for organizing this town hall by telephone. But my question is specifically towards voter election integrity. It's no secret that there are individuals, organizations, and even state actors such as Russia and perhaps others that would like to illegally influence and even hack into our state's elections. We're a swing state that's known by many of us, and there have been some suggestions in the press that because even major corporations have had their computer systems be hacked, there is only one 100% foolproof method of ensuring voter integrity, and that's by having exclusively paper ballots. So my question is for Senator Haywood. Do you support paper ballots for the citizens of Pennsylvania so that we can be absolutely assured of the integrity of our votes?
Thank you so much, Adam, and I appreciate you calling in. It's not clear to me at all that paper ballots are a secure way, a foolproof way of making sure that each of our ballots count. Because obviously a paper ballot has to be collected and counted, and that opportunity for actually counting the paper ballots as opposed to losing some, I think, can create a challenge. So I'm not I know in the history of the United States, there was a time for paper ballots, and I know in that same history, there is some legacy of fraud connected with the paper ballots in the 1900s. So it's not clear to me that that is the foolproof method of doing so, particularly getting the votes counted in at a speed that also is related to integrity, because the longer it takes to get a voter result in, sometimes it creates more opportunity for manipulation. So, Mr. Marks, I don't know where you are on paper ballots and the history of paper ballots in terms of elections in the United States, but I can recall from my American history classes, there we've had some tough incidents with paper ballots in the past.
No, I agree with your assessment. I think to answer the caller's question, I think paper ballots or a paper record of the votes cast is a component of securing our elections. It certainly directly is a component of having it gives you an additional avenue for auditing the election, but it in and of itself doesn't. It's not a magic bullet. I think you did a very good job, Senator Haywood, of articulating the challenges with paper ballots. You know, whatever the system is, whether it's paper-based, electronic, or even the old lever voting machines that a lot of counties used here in Pennsylvania for decades, chain of custody is important, and these other measures that are being taken to secure the elections are important. I when the discussion of paper ballots comes up, I remind people that we can't treat that like a magic bullet, and I worry sometimes that if we do treat it like a magic bullet, we're going to forget to take care of the other things. Part of securing our elections is making sure all of the chain of custody and other protocols are followed. We can't forget about those just because we have paper ballots, because as you pointed out astutely, our nation has a pretty rich history of fraud committed with various types of voting systems, and in particular paper ballots. So it's not a magic bullet, but it's certainly an additional component of being able to audit elections after the fact.
Adam, thank you very much for your question. Again, if you have a question for the senator or his guest this evening, press *3 in your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Steve. Steve, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Thanks. It's Steve Straws from Cheltenham Township. I want to, it's kind of a good timing because I want to sort of follow up on that paper ballot issue and ask about the opportunities for counties to upgrade their voting technology. That is, especially counties that are using direct recording electronic vote machines. That's the lingo for machines that are computer-based and have no ability to independently audit or recount the vote. And the reason that that's, of course, so important, why paper is so important, is because that provides the opportunity. If you have paper, you can count them on optical scan machines, or if necessary, or if that's the county's preference, to count them by hand. But it can be done speedily, and there is that security that in the event of, catastrophe, if you maintain those paper ballots, and I agree with John that, it's not a silver bullet. You need to have chain of custody concerns, and you need to just administer elections, appropriately. But that's why the paper is so important. So my specific question, I'm sorry for taking up the time, is so are we going to get from the state, from either the Secretary of State's office or the Legislative Study Commission or whoever, recommendations to counties for upgrading their voting technology? And if not direct recommendations, are we going to get updated standards for them to take into account in the event that they decide to procure new vote machines, which really every expert in this field says needs to have needs to be paper based.
Sure. I'll say three things. It is being looked at seriously. I don't know how many people know this, but last year there was a joint resolution passed by the General Assembly that called upon the Joint State Government Commission to put together a study group, a committee, and the final report from that committee will be issued late this year. I believe November is the deadline for that. But the committee is made up. I happen to sit, by virtue of my position as commissioner, I sit on that committee along with county election officials, county commissioners, election integrity advocates, accessibility advocates, or advocates for voters with disabilities. So it's a broad-ranging group, and they've looked at their specific task was to look at election technology and what the future in Pennsylvania is going to be, and that is one of the questions. What does the next generation of voting systems look like, and is a paper ballot a key component of that? In addition to that, I really think, in light of everything that's happened over the past decade, you're actually seeing the voting system market go that way. Most of what's considered new technology or next generation technology that we're looking at is either an optical scan type system or some type of blended system where you have a touchscreen interface that generates a marked paper ballot that is kept as the basically the official record of the votes cast. So I think, whether the General Assembly, explicitly mandates paper ballots or not, I really think the industry has headed in that direction because that's what county election officials want. They want to have, they've been, talking about DREs for the last 10 years, and they want to have something that gives them flexibility and also has that additional level of auditability as well. So it is something that's being seriously looked at. And again, I will reiterate, though, the paper ballots alone don't make the system secure. It's a component of that. So we're also looking internally at the Department of State as we examine voting systems at what additional measures we need to take, what additional standards we need to implement in the realm of cybersecurity to address the issues of today. Cybersecurity, just like every other element of voting, evolves over time, and we have to respond to the threats of today. Not yesterday. So,
Senator?
Yeah, I think that's a fully adequate answer, and that the legislature will be looking at the results of the commission and the study, and hopefully making some decisions that are based upon recommendations that come from that group.
Thank you very much for your call, Steve. Senator, we're going to go back to your callers. We're going to go to John in Abington. John, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator Haywood, Commissioner Marks. This is John Spiegelman. I'm a township commissioner here in Abington, Montgomery County. And I was actually speaking with a constituent about this very topic of election integrity. And we were sort of going through all the different ways that one can, for want of a better term, mess with an election, whether it is, Russian or other hacking of machines or the spreading of false news stories through social media to manipulate voters, to gerrymandering, to voter suppression techniques, to voter intimidation techniques, to making it extremely difficult for people to register to vote or vote by absentee or what have you. And my constituent brought up an interesting point. In today's world, certainly in Pennsylvania today, there's a perception that one thing that all of those different techniques and manipulations have in common is, and again, it's a perception. I'm not making a political judgment here, but there's a perception that all of those techniques lead to a result that benefits one particular party over the other. So the question that I have, and ultimately is my constituents' question, is how can the public trust that in good faith both parties will work as hard as they can for the sake of the integrity of our system, if that means that one party is basically giving up this advantage, even though it's a completely undemocratic, un-American advantage, an unfair advantage, and one that they might not necessarily be asking for or contributing to, but there's this perception that there's a one-sided benefit. How can the public trust that both parties and elected officials from both parties will come together and work their hardest to level the playing field?
John, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, John. And I know John as well as Steve Stroff, the last caller, very well. And what I would say is that the election integrity is part of a political system that we have. And within the political system, we do have a distribution of power based upon which party may be in the lead or not. I would say, though, that the perception that one side consistently benefits from the range of election issues that you described can be for a point in time, but definitely not for over the course of an entire generation. And I do believe that there's some broad recognition that some participation, at least, and I can say so for the state Senate, that there is a broad recognition that there's a basic level of citizen participation that's necessary for the democracy to work. And I'd say on the confidence side that we as citizens can generate more integrity by our own participation. The more citizens participate by raising questions about paper ballot or no paper ballot, raising questions about how do I know who is on the ballot, raising questions about fake news or gerrymandering, these issues are only going to be resolved by the consistent demands of the citizens. And we have a democracy that over time has been able to respond to the demands of the citizens. So I would say to you and all those who have the concerns, continue to call in, continue to make the demands. I think that is where the power is ultimately, if the citizens can be well and consistently organized to make sure that our system of governance is fair.
I would very much like to add to that. It's very well said by Senator Haywood. I do want to point out, just kind of from the nerdy election administrator side of it, we do have, it is one of the advantages of our seemingly archaic system sometimes. We have a system where the folks who administer elections at the local level are elected in such a way that it virtually guarantees minority representation, so that you don't have one party who's entirely in charge of counting the votes, of transporting the ballots, et cetera. So the human element is important. And it's an important, as Senator Haywood said, that every single person involved in the process, including the voters, is being vigilant throughout that process, so that when these issues do arise, that they can be brought to the attention of the appropriate authorities, and that is our responsibility as a group as a whole. As I said, one of the advantages of our ancient election code is that it still has that local model with minority representation, so that you don't have one party running all the levers of election administration.
John, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Caroline. Caroline, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello?
Caroline?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Caroline. What are the medical requirements to qualify for an absentee ballot?
There are no specific medical requirements. You basically just have to aver in your absentee ballot application that you're disabled or that you have an illness or some other physical disability that would prevent you from going to your polling place on election day. There's also a federal law that provides federal protections to anyone who's assigned to an inaccessible polling place who's 65 years of age or older. They are automatically entitled to an alternative ballot here in Pennsylvania. So there's no specific list of conditions that you have to be in. You just have to be able to credibly affirm on your application that you, for reasons of illness, physical disability, require an absentee ballot. And there are a variety of other reasons you can request an absentee ballot, too. It's basically anything that will keep you out of your municipality on election day, whether it be your work or even a vacation or a sabbatical, those all qualify you and entitle you to obtain an absentee ballot as well. Senator?
Yes, I think Jonathan has been pretty clear about the requirements, and I would encourage individuals who know that they're not going to be in town at the day of election to fill out an absentee ballot. I'd encourage individuals, if you have any kind of disability that you know will not allow you to go to the polls on election day, complete an absentee ballot. And that way your vote can still count, though you can't make it to the polls either because of absence or your condition.
Thank you very much, Caroline. Thank you very much. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. I know we had this mentioned earlier about, Senator, you mentioned where folks can go and get some more information about who's on the ballot. We have Julia. She has a question about the Philadelphia Voters League. Julia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Thank you for taking my call this evening. This question is for the senator. I wanted to know about the Philadelphia League of Women's Voters. Is our community represented on that board?
Thank you so much.
Germantown.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, no, thank you, Julian. Thank you so much for calling in. Yes, there is a League of Women Voters for the Philadelphia area. I've met at least one or two of the officers of that organization. I'm not exactly sure how active they are in the community, but that organization does exist. Now, on the other hand, if they're not really present much in Germantown or Northwest Philadelphia, I would strongly encourage you to go to the website of the Committee of 70. The Committee of 70 has got an excellent presentation. It outlined all of the individuals who are up for election at the Supreme Court, Superior Court, all the court openings, the district attorney, the city comptroller. These are all individuals who are up for election in Philadelphia. So if for some reason the Philadelphia League of Women Voters is not as active in our area, the Committee of 70 website is an excellent place to go to get information. Thank you so much for your question, and I want to thank everyone so far for the clear commitment to participating in our democracy. Everyone who's called so far has wanted to see the democracy work, whether that has been finding out who is on the ballot or what issues are on the ballot, or seeing that the elections that we participate in not subject to hacking or any other kind of unfairness. I can't say how happy I am that we have this commitment, and I want to let folks know I am as committed as you are, which is why we're having this phone call tonight. We've got to protect our democracy, and we can only do it by our continued demands and our participation.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, we're coming down the home stretch here. We have just a couple minutes left. I wanted to ask Jonathan if he had some closing remarks, and then Senator, we'll finish with you, and we'll conclude the evening. Jonathan.
Sure. Again, I do want to reiterate the importance of the upcoming November 7th election, and you know, anyone out there who's wondering, you know, where they go to vote or whether they're registered to vote and what address they're registered at, I would encourage them to go to our website at www.votespa.com. We have a number of tools on there to look up your polling place, to also confirm your registration. And I also want to reassure everyone that we at the Department of State, county election officials, are doing everything that we can to secure our elections and to promote the integrity of elections. We have a very good relationship, working relationship at the Department of State with county election officials and county information, county CIOs, information officers, to address the threats and concerns of today. So I want to assure you're doing everything we can to secure our elections.
Jonathan,
thank you, everyone.
Jonathan, thank you, Senator.
Again, I want to thank everyone who participated on this call and who listened in, and that includes Thomas, Joyce, Hazel, Roberta, Adam, Steve, John, Caroline, and Julie. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope I didn't miss Marie as well. This is so critical that our voices are raised, that your voices are heard, and now Jonathan Marks can take what he's heard today into consideration as he does the important work at the Bureau of Elections at the state level. Letting Jonathan know and hear these concerns will only help him do what it takes to protect our elections. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line, and you'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we'll get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at www.senatorhaywood.com. Thank you, Mr. Marks, and good night to all.
Thank you very much for participating in Senator Art Haywood's Telephone Town Hall. You've been a wonderful audience, and have a very nice evening.